Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we want to wish you a blessed Holy Thursday. Here we are in Holy Week as we are taking this beautiful spiritual pilgrimage. If you can't get to your sanctuary, to your local parish, you know that wherever you are, you keep it on EWTN, and EWTN is going to bring to you all of the masses from Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, and they're going to bring you everything that's happening in Rome, in Washington, D.C., and then right here in Irondale, Alabama.
One correction, though. I don't think there's a Mass on Good Friday.
There isn't a Mass on Good Friday.
We forget that, yeah.
But the Good Friday.
And that makes me so sad, you know?
Services.
It's like it's really happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, yeah.
All the beautiful things that we do participate on Good Friday, which would be beautiful. Well, we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today we have back with us Father Patrick Mary, and we are so excited to have him. He was born in Cocoa Beach, Florida. He's the oldest of eight children. So when you see him up there preaching, now you know some things about Father. He grew up in a military family, and he was a college student before he entered the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word in 2002. And after studying at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, he was ordained to the priesthood in 2012. He currently serves as the community vicar, the vocation director, and the director of priestly formation to the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. And today he's here, and he's going to continue the beautiful conversation about Holy Week. And if you want to learn more, maybe you're a young man out there, and yesterday you heard Father tell his beautiful story of being wooed by the Holy Spirit when he went to the shrine in Hanceville, Alabama, and what God did to his heart, and how he started his journey of saying yes to Jesus.
It was a great testimony.
It was beautiful.
It was really unique.
You can go out to the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, visit their website, FranciscanMissionaries.com.
Yeah, he was talking about how the Lord called him. It was just so beautiful and precious and wooing, as you said. I don't know how many of you guys get called like that.
Yeah.
But he did make the point, too, that at some point he got into heavy metal music and all this stuff. And part of his being wooed and called was just the beauty of the Mass and the music there and so on. It actually seemed like he had a little deliverance in that, but it was like a nice deliverance from one thing to another thing. Mm-hmm. It's very special, so he's
a
special
guy. I loved how we shared how he shared that experience with his mother in the piazza right out there.
Yeah.
And then when they came to Birmingham, she encouraged him to maybe speak to the vocations director. Maybe you just want to say something to Father Anthony. So, and the rest is history.
So we're going to be with Father Patrick. We're so glad that you could join into this holy conversation, that you would be better prepared to receive this Lord during this Triduum, these three precious days that are all like one day.
Mm.
We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today, joining us for the second day in a row, and I'm ever so grateful, is Father Patrick Mary. Now, he is a friar of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. To learn more about the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, go out to their website, FranciscanMissionaries.com.
And
it's a great website.
Father is the vocation director, so maybe you have a little inkling or you'd like to consider that vocation to the priesthood. Father's here. He'd love to hear from you and guide you along that path as he was guided along not too many years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Time flies when we're having fun.
Amen.
So, Father, why don't you just tell our family, like yesterday, for those of you who missed our show yesterday, well, first of all, you got to tell your beautiful calling story, which was lovely. And we talked about Holy Week. We talked about Good Friday. We talked about Holy Saturday. And so today, tell our family what we're going to talk about, especially on the Holy Eucharist.
Yes.
How beautiful that is. Mm-hmm. So,
So we started just like with an intro into Holy Week with Palm Sunday, and then we skipped to Good Friday because mm-hmm. today is the day, Holy Thursday. So, but today I just want to kind of emphasize the three points that are usually, in fact, I believe the rubrics too, which are the instructions for the Mass. There's a couple times it can be kind of humorous, particularly on Sunday with regard to Palm Sunday. It says specifically a brief homily is given because, we have the big passion narrative. We have two Gospels, actually.
And the people said, amen.
Amen. That's right. So for Holy Thursday, we're actually instructed on what to preach on. Of course, there's a lot of freedom in how you deliver that, but we're specifically asked to preach about the Holy Eucharist, to preach about the institution of the priesthood, and in our Lord's commandment of fraternal charity. So these are three big themes that we really kind of reflect on, that we enter into on this Holy Thursday. And not to mention, too, you think of Holy Thursday, Last Supper, that's the first Mass that our Lord instituted, the Mass there. So just to kind of maybe some just reflections on some of those points. And I was thinking about, with regard to the Eucharist, first and foremost, like that is, as we're often taught, in the catechisms and that, we know that baptism is the most necessary of the sacraments. The Eucharist is the greatest of the sacraments because it's our Lord himself. And so what a great gift, that he gave us on Holy Thursday, the gift of himself, that this was the way that he was able to fulfill, I will be with you until the end, until the last day. And just practically, I love, practically speaking, how do we, incorporate this into our lives? Is thanks be to God, we have the practice of Eucharistic adoration, which is available in many parishes throughout the world. Or even if it's not, like the churches, to go to visit the Blessed Sacrament, even the Lord in the Tabernacle, but he's there waiting for us. And so many saints too have just talked about just the benefits that we get from just spending time with the Lord, that he works on us. There's that great chaplain, the Irish chaplain, Father Willie Doyle, who died, I think it was in World War I. He was killed as he was on the battlefield, just, ministering to the spiritual needs of the soldiers. But he would just speak about this image of just sitting there basking in the sun, the S-U-N of the Lord's Eucharistic presence, and that we know that there is an effect that takes place on us. When we're spending time before the Lord in his Eucharistic presence, that if there's no obstacles in our hearts, like the Lord can work on us and he can transform us and change us. And then we can also think of the effects of receiving the Lord in Holy Communion, which we have that grace that we can receive every day if we so choose, to receive the Lord's body and blood. And we know that sanctifying grace is increased in our souls. We know we're in a spiritual battle, so we're strengthened against temptation, the inclination to sin. That's strengthened in us each day. And our union with God is also intensified and deepened with each, reverent Holy Communion that we receive. So there's so many graces. So we thank God really for that gift of the Eucharist, of himself, at the Last Supper.
I don't know the words of the Passover meal, some of them possibly, but I'm sure all those that were with him were familiar. And to begin to hear, this is my body. That's another thing, this is my blood shed for you. This is. I mean, awesome. What, again, it's one of those shifts where he's doing the I am the light of the world, I am the way, the truth, life, I am. It's just like the magnitude of what you're saying and what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like phenomenal. Now it's become commonplace for us. It should never become common, but it's like we know those words. They're not that shocking. But if this is real, if this he's meaning what he's saying, and this is the body and blood, and that you can continue this, the cult of the priesthood in this, you can be used to effect this change, and this needs to continue.
That's right.
That's happening today, tonight. We're remembering. It's being represented, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Speak to us a little bit about the representing, because that's one of the charges against Catholicism. You keep re-sacrificing Christ, and you're doing this. I mean, it's sacrificed once and for all. It says it here in the Bible. You keep re-sacrificing. We're not saying that.
That's right. That's right. So the Lord is not dying and re-dying every time the Mass is going on. But like when we say that representation, I think that's taken in a number of different ways that are misunderstood, that are not church's teaching. One is that Like you can look at a representation or a representation, we think, oh, that's just like a symbol. It's like, no, it's being represented. It's being made present, the one sacrifice. And that's really important, Jim, what you said too. It's that one sacrifice that took place 2,000 years ago is made present on the altar. And then in what the and it's of infinite value and merit. And so that's why we can tap into that at every Mass, that we can tap into the graces that are available to transform us, because that can't be exhausted. Because that's our God who became man and suffered and died for us and shed his blood for us. And we were able to benefit from that at every Mass. So yeah, that's right. So it's not it's not against Scripture, because the Lord is not dying every day. And that's the thing too with the theology of the Church, is that it's the same sacrifice, but the manner in which it is offered is different from 2,000 years ago. It's the same priest, right? It's Christ himself offering himself to the Father. It's the same sacrifice, but it's in an unbloody manner. So he shed his blood 2,000 years ago, and mystically that's made present in an unbloody manner on the altar at every Mass today.
And that's maybe getting in the weeds, but and I might be wrong. You can correct me. I think of the word anamnesis.
That's right.
It's a different understanding. It's the opposite of amnesia.
Sure.
Anamnesis means it's happening right now.
Present.
And so then we're like, well, is there a time problem here? Like, is it chronologically? And it was like, you know, I'm not dealing with that. It's happening.
Sure. Yeah, that's
It's here.
That's right. It is really, it is made present, that one sacrifice. Another thing, too, that some saints have commented, I think St. John Vianney as well, that, you know, it's and a gift, because sometimes we can think, well, we can seem like maybe the Lord's a little bit distant from us, the fact that we can't really see what's going on, right? So the fact, and this, there's a great, that great convert, Monsignor Ronald Knox, who came into the Church, he talked about this, the veil of the Eucharist under the appearance of bread and wine, how that actually is a gift, and it actually reveals more to us. And so, you know, he would talk about it. First of all, he said it's like the Lord was looking out for us, because if that veil was removed, we wouldn't be able to handle it. You know, if we saw, if we saw the bloody sacrifice of our, you know, our Lord's presence there, his body and blood without the veil of the appearance, it would be very difficult for us to take. But then he also mentioned just like when, and he gave a great example of like you have perhaps husband and wife and you know, or a loved one, you're writing a letter to them. Well, that letter is a veil. You know, it's like, but when you're reading the letter, you can hear their voice, you know, and so it's like it's a, and it actually can help with that communion. And he even mentioned like the face is a veil, because the face is not the person, that it reveals what, who interiorly, who they are. And so like with that veil, that actually shouldn't be a barrier, that, you know, the Lord's doing that to draw us ever closer to him, the veil of the
So we have the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Mass.
Yes.
And where does also the institution of the priesthood, how is that happening in this?
Yes. So when he said, do this in memory of me, he gave them that authority, that power. And so the Church has always held, this is when the Lord also instituted the priesthood. So the apostles were the very first priests that our Lord instituted. And that's been passed down through the centuries by the laying on of hands from the apostles. And he gave them power to what we refer to as confecting the Eucharist, right, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to change bread and wine into his body and blood, and the power to absolve sins, which happened on Easter Sunday evening, when he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. So he gave them that power.
And you know, Father, I mean, there are times during the Mass, during the celebration of the Eucharist, I mean, heaven comes down, we go up. I mean, like, you could go far, far away. It's like, this is unbelievable what's happening here.
Yes.
And every time when I receive the Eucharist, and Father Angelus, who you spoke of yesterday, he did a teaching one time on EWTN and talked about after we receive the Eucharist, that it physically takes our body like 12 minutes to digest and take that in. And that during that time, what a sacred, holy time that is. And so we shouldn't just receive the Eucharist and eat and run. You know, like we should stop. We should, after we receive the Eucharist, we should linger in church.
That's
say
right.
thankful, be thankful to God. Say thank you to your priest for feeding you the bread of heaven. Because without the priesthood, there would be no Eucharist. You know, and you hear stories of missionaries and people in all, you know, these third world countries, and maybe they'll celebrate once a year or once every 6 months. I think, oh my gosh, I would be starving to the Eucharist, starving. And we, as a people of God, should be starving for the Eucharist.
That's right.
That we
Amen.
Would just hunger and thirst. That if we could have the luxury of going on a daily, going to daily yeah. communion, beautiful yeah. that is, but certainly once a week.
So, Father, yes. in the midst of all this that you're sharing so beautifully, mm-hmm. the institution of the Eucharist, the yes. Mass, the priesthood, and then in the middle of this, wherever it comes in, you've got the foot washing
That's
deal
right.
going
That's
on
right.
here. Speak to us about that.
Yes, yes, this call to really of selfless love and service. The Lord who, and he told the apostles, you don't understand what I'm doing now. But he lowered himself and served them. And then he gave, of course, in the midst of the Last Supper too, just this commandment to charity. Love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give
yeah.
you. And that really, in fact, we would later hear too, that this is the mark of how others will know that we are his followers,
yeah.
right? This is how they will know that you love one another. And it seems like, in a sense, it seems so simple, but it's a hard thing, mm-hmm. and it's a lifelong process just to die to self and to try to see the Lord on the other and to love them as he has loved us, which is sacrificially. Like, he laid down his life for us. And we are called to do the same each and every day, you know, yeah. for our brothers and sisters.
It seems like the ante was raised, because, you know, the commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
And then it seems like he goes beyond that, because he's saying, love them like I love them. As I love them,
yeah.
you love them now.
Yeah.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
what are you asking me? You just love them as I love myself. Now you're going, wow.
In light of what he's about to do, yeah, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Unto
die
death.
On the cross. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's a heroic call.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed us, right? He never would teach mm-hmm. us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself.
Or yeah, give us the grace
it.
And the power
right.
to do. And that's the power of the Eucharist, right?
That's right.
When we were explaining to our grandsons, we call them superpowers. To receive the Eucharist, mm-hmm. you're going to receive all the power that you need from God Almighty to do all the things he's asking you to do.
That's right.
Number one thing is to die to yourself.
That's right.
And to be kind and to be selfless and to
yeah.
be prayerful. Mm-hmm. Right? And just to live a virtuous life.
Yeah. And that's a powerful, powerful moment too, because I love what St. Maximian Kolbe said, one holy communion mm-hmm. can make you holy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it is God whom we're receiving. He's the source of all holiness that mm-hmm. we're receiving. And so his big thing was we have to dispose ourselves, right, to be properly prepared of who we are receiving and
yes.
allow him to do his work in us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And that's something I didn't understand very well when I was growing up, mm-hmm. you know, in the church. That I was like, well, if you're God, you don't need anything from me. And that was true. He doesn't need anything from me, but he wants something from me. I have to respond. I have to kiss him back. I have to move. That's called faith. And mm-hmm. I didn't understand faith. And that's what you're saying. Be rightly disposed. You can do that. There's some things you can't do. That's called grace. You're going to get stuff you can't do.
That's
but
right.
meanwhile, you can respond mm-hmm. for good or ill.
That's right.
And we need to be about that. We need to be about that, especially today, mm-hmm. before the Holy Thursday, Monday, Thursday mm-hmm. Liturgy that we will be going to tonight. We're going to take a break, and so we'll be right back. So nice to have you as a part of this holy mm-hmm. conversation on this holy and sacred day. We still have some time to get right with the Lord, to prepare ourselves, to dispose ourselves, and say, Lord, I believe. Help any unbelief. I just want to love you back. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Wrapping up our holy conversation with Father Patrick. What a blessing to have Father teaching us, and then we get to go, Lord willing, to the Holy Thursday services, at the Mass, and all that's taking place there being presented once again to us. Father, you only have a few minutes, so I'm just turning it over to you as you discern what you should be sharing with us.
Sure. So I figured maybe we'll conclude with just talking about the Easter Vigil, like the mother of all vigils. And I love the image of the dark, how it begins in darkness, and how the Easter fire is lit, and then the candle is lit and brought into the church, and how there's a great image, and I remember coming across this, it really struck me that you can think of like the Israelites being one, like they were led by a pillar of smoke, mm-hmm. a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire. Right. And usually that entrance outside is, you're led by incense, and then you've mm-hmm. got the candle right behind mm-hmm. it. So it's like an image, it's like a reliving mm-hmm. of the people in procession toward the promised land, right? You've got mm-hmm. the pillar of smoke, the incense rising up, and you've got the pillar of fire, which is represents the Paschal candle, represents the risen Lord, mm-hmm. leading the people into wow. the promised land, into the sanctuary. That's a great image for us, that we are pilgrims heading toward heaven here. Mm-hmm. And of course, the whole thing is about victory, right? It's our Lord that the darkness has not overcome the light. And then just the when that fire is lit, it just lights up everything, you know? And so that's one of the things I just wanted to mention. And then just briefly, I love just the historically, in the first couple of centuries, one of our professors in seminary wrote about this, how literally in the early church, the Easter Vigil would be all night long. They would gather in the evening and it would go till dawn. And there would be a homily after each one of the readings. So if you can imagine that. So it really, you know, called forth for perseverance. But then when they came for the catechumens to be baptized, they would lead the catechumens. And this is before dawn. And then they would lead them out and they'd open a door leading to the west, which is the darkness. And then they would say, "Do you renounce Satan and all his mm-hmm. works?" And then so they would say, "Yes." And then they were instructed to spit out into the darkness to show mm. concretely that they mm. rejected Satan. Mm. And then they would be brought to the eastern side and the door would be open where the sun was rising, facing Christ. And then they would profess their faith, "I believe in God the Father," and they'd go through the creed. Just a powerful image. Mm. And then they were baptized, they received the white garments of their purity, and then they received the Lord for the first time. But just like it's so, the liturgy is just made really to lift the mind and heart, that we're body and soul, and so many levels, the Lord, it's a great blessing mm-hmm. for us to be a part of.
Father, thank you mm. so much for being with us and helping to prepare us for this Triduum, which today and tomorrow and Saturday, going right into Easter. And you've better prepared us to dispose mm-hmm. ourselves
thank
properly
you.
To receive this evening. Close us, please, in prayer.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us, upon all of our viewers, especially upon all those who are preparing to enter into the church, those preparing for holy baptism. Open our hearts to receive all the graces you desire to give us to transform our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Father.
Father.
Thank you so much for being with us. What a great work the Lord has worked through Mother for this network, work of grace. And what timing that we could enter into the Triduum after such beautiful, high, grace-filled teaching. May this be the greatest Holy Thursday of your life and Good Friday and Holy Saturday right into Easter and hopefully right into eternity with Jesus face to face. God bless you and all of your loved ones. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.